The dangers of a warming world have been in the public eye for at least the last 50 years, and yet it wasn't until 2016 that 191 countries came together to sign the Paris Agreement, committing to prevent global warming from exceeding 1.5 degrees centigrade. Only two countries have targets consistent with that goal, and G7 countries do not even come close. The most asked question by people are, what can I do? Where do I start? Enter environmentalist, entrepreneur, and activist Paul Hawken, a leading voice in the climate movement. His new book is Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. It weaves justice, climate, biodiversity, equity, and human dignity into a seamless tapestry of action, policy, and yes, transformation. It is a handsome volume, I must say. Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. Paul Hawken, welcome to the program. A delight to have you here.
Hey, thank you, Joe. Lovely to be here.
Oh, it's really nice. It's a beautiful book. Congratulations. It's lovely.
I think beauty is important.
Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
The imagery around climate has been doom and, you know, calving glaciers and hurricanes ripping off roofs and polar bears on ice floes looking distraught, you know. Not that those aren't true, but those aren't inspiring.
So the photos in the book, which will often take up two pages, are very inspiring. It's mm-hmm. of natural beauty. It is of nature. It is of animals and fish and other wildlife. It is a beautiful look and gives us an idea of why we're doing this, right? Reminding us of what is at stake here.
Yes, it does that. Actually, what they're there for is to show possibility and what we can do in order to reverse global warming, actually. And so many of the pictures that you refer to are about either wilding or, forest wilding. And one of the things we don't understand is that the Earth, not the ocean side, just the Earth itself, the terrestrial systems hold 3,300 gigatons of carbon, C, not CO2, C. And that's four times as much as the atmosphere. And so if we can increase the amount of carbon in those terrestrial systems, in our wetlands, our forests, our farmlands, our grasslands, you know, et cetera, by 9% over the next 30 years, we will have sequestered or abated or brought back home all of the carbon we've emitted since 1800. So,
yeah.
So protecting these systems is vital. And when you see pictures, too, of the systems and how beautiful and extraordinary they are, then you put those two together, you go, yeah, let's do it. I want to do it. That, what a beautiful thing to do, because mostly when you hear about what you should do, you know, like Uncle Sam pointing at you, I mean, put the recycling out, use cold water in your washing machine, you know, buy another car, different car, move closer to work, you know, put a power strip in your home entertainment center, all these things. Just like, you know, you feel, okay, well, whatever, you know, but it don't really turn you on, light you up, and inspire you. And so that's one area where a certain number of people, kinds of people, usually, you know, who love being outside, love nature, love animals, love trees, love plants, love the living world, you know, and say, yeah, this relates to reversing global warming because those systems are actually degrading little by little every day. And what happens is that if we lose on the other side of that 10% of those systems, and we are losing them, our ppm will go up in the atmosphere of CO2 from 417 to 517.
You write in the book about influence and our power to influence. Talk a little bit about that, because we ultimately can have more power than perhaps we think we do.
We do, and we don't have power when we think we're an individual, because an individual doesn't exist. It's just really what the ego tells you every morning when you wake up. And we are part of networks and systems, you know, and not just our family, not just our community, not just our neighbors, but in our schools and our classrooms, in the companies or the nonprofits we work for and with, in our churches and synagogues and temples and our clubs and our, you know, where we play soccer or whatever. This is who we are. And so we have a lot of power. power in when we look at ourselves that way, as opposed to just being individuated, like, you know, this is what you can do and you want right. to do them, and of course, but you know, unless you have an IQ lower than room temperature, you know that those aren't adequate to the task at hand, you know? And so what regeneration says is really emphasizes agency, and that's the missing thing. This is what you can do individual. This is what big governments could, should, would, might, want ever to do, maybe ever, but that hasn't happened yet. You know, and then you feel despair, you know, because you know what you do is right, but not enough, and you know what conference of the parties and, you know, and the big governments are doing or not doing, and big corporations are doing and not doing, and you go, whoa, you know, we're in trouble. And if you draw a conclusion based on that polarity, you're right, and there's something missing in there, which is 98% of the world, the people in the world, are disengaged. And the question is, why? Why, given that this is the greatest crisis civilization has ever faced and may ever face in the future, why is the vast majority of humankind disengaged, even if they feel empathetic or sympathetic and understand it?
Do you understand that? I mean, is that the great mystery for you too, or do you
no.
do you think you?
No, we try to explain it.
No, I know you try to explain it, but I mean, do you? But is it does the explanation satisfy you?
Well, sure, because our explanations are based on people, not on theory.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm an English major. I'm not a scientist, a journalist. And so the way we've languaged it, you know, and that's not really a verb, by the way, but, you know, the language you've used basically to convey what's going on came originally from science, which is about future existential threat and fear. I mean, that was the conclusion. It's a threat, there's fear. And then that got picked up by activists, and that was about blame, shame, and guilt. You know, like, you know, these people, these corporations shouldn't be doing this. It's wrong. They should know better. Let's sue them, etc. Fair enough. The science was impeccable. I'm not saying the activists weren't incorrect in responsibility and understanding who's responsible and so forth. But then you had fear, shame, blame, guilt, you know, a threat all mixed together. And then on top of that, you had people, journalists, scientists, activists saying, we have to combat, tackle, you know, fight climate change. You know, these war metaphors that came from guess which gender. And then, or mitigating, we're going to mitigate climate change, you know, and like, who wakes up in the morning saying, I can't wait to mitigate today? In other words, and that language othered climate, it othered weather, it othered the atmosphere. It's like, it's an it out there that we have to fight and tackle, and that's just inane, because atmosphere is the biosphere and vice versa. One's gaseous, one's solid, but they're inseparable. And the fact is that the climate is perfect, just the way it is today. It's perfect because it is an artifact. It's an expression of what we've done down here, okay, on Earth. And so nature never makes a mistake. We do. And what we're seeing now is we're being homeschooled by the Earth, and it's giving us feedback. And any system that ignores feedback dies, okay? And so the feedback is not a curse, it's a blessing. It's not a closure, it's the beginning. And so what we are saying in regeneration is, can we just have bigger arms here, look at this in a much broader, deeper, fundamental way that would engage those people who right now are standoffish, you know, and feel like, in many cases, they don't know what to do and they don't know how to do it. So that's what we try to address as well.
You address equity in the book, and in our few moments that we have left, it's ultimately about mending relationships, mending vital relationships, right?
Well, definitely. I mean, it's about fairness and about kindness. It's about understanding that our destinies are inseparable, you know, and that we can pretend that, you know, other people, that their status or their poverty or their suffering in their life has nothing to do with us. We're cool. But when we look at the system of social, economic, cultural systems that we have – what we see is that they're exploitative and they are taking life. There's all supply chains of every economic sector is taking life. Purposely? No. They don't think about it. They think that's just what you have to do. And taking life kills life, and killing life is degeneration. That is what degeneration is. And so what the book is saying is, what about regeneration? Because right now we're stealing the future, okay? We're stealing it from our children. No question about it. That's what the news cycle will tell you every single day now. And so this is about a 180. And instead of stealing the future, ask the question, can we create an economy and a social compact that's about healing the future? And that's GDP, and that's jobs, and that's prosperity, and that's work. But work that gives people a sense of meaning and purpose and dignity. And that's what's missing in so much of what people do, especially people who are underpaid and overexploited. And so restoring and regenerating life on Earth is not only a way to address the crisis we face, but it's also a way to bring us back to life.
And as you say, back to life, and it was a word, it was a something I used in the introduction of bringing human dignity back too. There is that feeling of dignity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all want meaning. We all want purpose. And I can't think of something more meaningful and more purposeful than bringing the Earth back to life for our generation, but for all future generations. I mean, that's why are we here otherwise? Really, when you think about it, why are we here? Given what we know now, the science is impeccable and extraordinary. And think, okay, there it is. But can we do that in such a practical way that it's not about future existential threat, but it's about meeting current existential needs of human beings? And that's the key to reversing global warming.
Do you think we'll listen?
It's not about listening. It's about acting. And we've listened long enough. The thing that we know from Andrew Huberman's work at Stanford is that listening and beliefs and, with all due respect to myself talking, doesn't change our actions. We just think that. If I believe something, my actions change. Actually, our actions change our beliefs. And they change the beliefs of others. And they take us away from the sense of this is happening to me. I'm a victim. I'm the object. I was born too late. I was born at the wrong time. My God, I didn't do this. I didn't make this. Why is this happening? To basically, it's happening for me. It's an offering. It's a teaching. It's an opening. And I am the subject of my life. And this is the way I'm going to live the rest of my life, because I don't want to live the rest of my life as a victim, you know, moaning and blaming and shaming and feeling, you know, pitying myself or that is what happens when you see yourself as an object. And so listening, I'm not sure. I'm acting, yes, because actions change people. And so they change your beliefs. They change the beliefs of people around you. So the website, regeneration.org, this is a do book. This is not a ponder. Think about it. You know, it has beautiful imagery. Don't get me wrong. But the whole purpose of the book is to have a wormhole to the website, which is free. You don't have to buy it. And it gives you this complete comprehensive listing of all the solutions and how to do them and how to get them done and how to connect to all the other people in the world who are doing this. Regeneration is a burgeoning movement. I've never seen anything like this in my life. We're not leading it. We're not even announcing it. We're just saying it just happens to have that title for good reason. But the point being is that this is what humanity is doing right now. This is the pivot.
Paul Hawken, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure. Be well.